Good morning. Welcome to the Australian Early Finance Briefing for Thursday, the 10th of September. My name's Nick here in Melbourne. As you've probably heard on the news yesterday, there was a holdup in the AstraZeneca Oxford University vaccine trial. There was one adverse reaction, and as per normal protocol with these vaccine trials, they have to put a pause on it until they identify what was the cause. Now, there's an enormous number, tens of thousands of people being trialed with this vaccine in India, America, South Africa, the UK, Brazil, at least. And, you know, when you have that huge a sample size, you're bound to get some adverse sort of health conditions occurring, you know, coincidentally with the vaccine. Obviously, you know, that's not yet to be determined, but that's sort of the general consensus that, you know, this was bound to happen eventually. And what we've seen is the CSL share price has dropped a few percent today. Obviously, the market was off as well, but it's interesting to sort of deduce whether this is driven by that. We certainly did see CSL rise a little bit when they were appointed, and then also when there was talk of them being appointed. So is this really justified? Almost certainly not. So it's looking like AstraZeneca themselves have said the vaccine will only cost a few dollars to produce, which is much less than some of the competitors. So Pfizer have said theirs is going to be about $20, although I think they did mention they wanted some sort of margin in that. And then even worse is the Moderna one, the mRNA vaccine, which is more expensive to produce. They said it will be about $25 to $30 per dose. And because it's a dual dose one, that will be about $60. Ever since that was announced and AstraZeneca said theirs is, you know, literally, you know, the 20th of that, the Moderna share price has dropped. It's down 30% since AstraZeneca's announcement. So certainly, you know, it's not always a good bet on these vaccine companies in a world that's craving them. Now, the vaccine in Australia, if it is that, you know, only $3 or $3 US, analysts are expecting that CSL will at best make, you know, maybe a dollar per shot, which would mean on their 16 million double dose courses, that's, you know, that's only at $32 million. CSL is Australia's largest company. Its market cap's about 130 billion Australian dollars, and its revenue, you know, in 2019 was 8.5 billion US. So what's 30 million going to do? Not much other than, you know, lift the brand prestige. You may not be aware, but CSL was actually founded as the Commonwealth Serum Laboratories in the early 1900s to build vaccines. That's where it started, and that's where it's at now. Okay, Australia's reputation as the sort of center of capital markets for the buy now, pay later sector is even further confirmed. You know, you may have Silicon Valley being the sort of center of capital for venture capital and, you know, the technology space, but buy now, pay later, Australia is where it's at. We have Zebit, a US-based company looking to IPO in Australia. They have no plans to do any business in Australia. They are looking at raising $40 million on the ASX. They also have a venture capital convertible note, meaning that, you know, it will be diluted probably eventually. The total market cap they expect would be about $200 million after listing. Now, the company targets credit challenged Americans who live paycheck to paycheck and find it difficult to qualify for formal credit cards or other buy now pay later providers. But it also sells electronics via its website and offers that on interest free credit. So last year it had revenue of $86 million. So interesting there, we're still seeing them coming up. I don't know where this is going to end, but if you have buy now pay later, come to Australia. One thing we haven't seen much commentary on in Australia is the sort of distortionary impacts of the JobKeeper scheme on the economy. Brazilian abattoir operator JBS, which shot to prominence in Australia during the outbreak of coronavirus, it had a large cluster at one of their abattoirs here in Melbourne. They have sort of two Australian operations, north and south, and they're operated largely independently. Now, they've come out in regards to their northern operations saying that JobKeeper is really sort of messing them about compared to their competitors. So they, being an essential business, you know, providing meat, they haven't really had a decrease in revenue. And that means they haven't qualified for JobKeeper. However, some of the competing abattoir companies use labour hire companies. And because these labour hire companies may offer labour for numerous other things that have been impacted, the labour hire companies qualify for JobKeeper. So the abattoir competitors are actually sort of accessing indirectly the JobKeeper subsidies. And because there's been the large drought in Australia up until this year, that cattle prices are really high and they've actually had to let go of a lot of workers because they're just unable to compete with these JobKeeper subsidized competitors. So it is interesting, and it's surprising that there's not more of these sorts of news items coming up with such a generous subsidy that's not really means tested terribly efficiently, and you know the impacts of that on various industries. And to the markets now, about 45 minutes after open, NASDAQ's up 1.9%. Big rebound in tech names, including Apple and Tesla. Now, S&P's not up quite as much. Russell's only up 1%. Coming up here in Australia, not much in terms of the news flow. We do have the Melbourne Institute inflation reading coming up later this morning. And that is your early update for Thursday. Have a great day.
This podcast is for investment professionals only and should not be relied upon by private investors. The podcast is provided for informational purposes only and does not constitute financial advice. The values of investments can go up or down, so you may get back less than you initially invest.